A Jew whose Jewishness was formed by American experience or Israeli experience has no natural understanding of what European Jewish experience is like. None, because America and Israel were basically designed as the two great modern experiments in getting away from the terms of Jewish life in Europe. And we're talking about the irrefutable resurgence of a classical kind of anti-Semitism in the historical capital of this prejudice, I mean the continent. Historical irony to this, which is that if you look at the political history of the Jews in the exile, historians have described this, that Jews always made vertical alliances with power and authority,
right,
and preferred them to horizontal alliances with population. So the king, the prince,
there was always a prince,
the archbishop, yeah, ecclesiastical authority,
the Ottoman Vizier,
authorities, they always did this. So the idea, well, now they have Merkel and Valls and Hollande, whoever they have, that's nice, but that's already conceding that Jewish life in Europe is a little safer because they have somehow got the protection of the king. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I'll tell you, spending a lot of time in Europe has made me very appreciative of the American ability to absorb almost anyone and turn anyone into an American. It's really remarkable. I mean, when you think about it, put it in the simplest terms possible, the idea of a Moroccan American or a Turkish American is completely understandable. The idea of a Turkish German is harder to get your
mind
around.
But that's why there is no such thing as the West. There's the American West and there's the European West. There
right.
is no
and,
such
the,
thing.
And the European West
the
isn't
American
so West.
West In the European West is based on an old model of the nation-state, according to which, ideally, the political boundaries and the cultural boundaries coincide. But, of course, they never do, so they always have this problem of minorities. In the United States, we don't know. We wouldn't know what a problem of minority means. We're all minorities. We are hyphenated, right, except for some tragic cases that we all know about. Europe is, I mean, you go back to this problem of the other. They just there's the native and the foreigner.
What someone like Marine Le Pen is arguing for is complete effacement. That Muslims will be absorbed when they completely efface their
identity. Well, that's the irony.
And that, of course, is a non-starter.
In France, this whole laïcité thing, they made such a strategic error because they wanted integration, but they wanted it coerced. And by integration, they mean a degree of self-erasure culturally in terms of identity that leads only to alienation and hostility.
Right. If someone tells you not to wear a hijab, you'll wear a hijab.
Whereas in the American model, which we call pluralism, you are in fact rewarded. Now there was anti-Semitism here. It was never like that, of course. But anyway, for the last 50 or 60 years and forevermore, you are rewarded for difference. Difference is expected. It's not a social problem. It's not an obstacle
to
integration.
It's cool.
I mean, it's a norm. It's a norm. It's a social
wearing
norm.
A kippah, wearing hijab is a lifestyle
it's a social
choice,
norm.
And it's interesting to people. In France, it's seen as a threat.
Actually, one of the stay and fight, is that a fight for France or Toulouse, or is that a fight for Judaism? I mean, it seems so
it's
tragic
both.
To imagine
it's
Europe
both.
Actually, you know.
It's both. It's both.
I mean, the fight for a liberal state makes it the fight for both. But this is not just about the Jews in France. This is about the Jews and the Muslims in France. Security of European Jews cannot be based on the memory of the Holocaust, because the memory of the Holocaust is going to become more and more attenuated as the years go by. The European Jewish security can only be based on a very, very reliable sense of the rights of Jews to live in Europe as individuals and as a community.
Why is it so hard to get to that in Europe?
First of all, European liberalism, as we know from its history, constantly provoked recoils and allergic reactions. Fascism and communism both were in some way allergic responses to European liberalism. The liberal state can actually collide with an illiberal society or an illiberal culture. And I think to some extent that's what's happening. And that's a very difficult situation, because then what you have is an imposition from on top in some sense. You have a kind of top-down liberalism whereby the state is liberal and motivated by all the right values. And then there is this bottom which lives peacefully most of the time in that, but maybe isn't really of it sufficiently to some extent, or at least some of it.
If the tragic outcome of this is that the Jews, in fact, do need to all leave Europe, what would be the most Jewish thing for the last Jew to do? The most appropriate fitting thing.
One said that the last thing that a Jew should do when he or she leaves Europe is spit. I mean, I think that
Jews' last sigh.
Yeah, well, exactly. But if the Jews leave Europe, I have to say I will regard it in some ways as sad, but I won't regard it as tragic, because I think the tragedy of Europe and the Jews has been has been in operation for
there's
a very long
time. There's been plenty of tragedy
we're
already.
Well past the,
I mean,
we're,
way,
we're,
I mean, this is not...
We're well past
but this
the
is
moment.
What, I mean, this
we're
is, well and you heard this, this is what Hitler wanted,
well,
you know?
I'm not worried about giving Hitler posthumous victories. I mean, I'm worried about the safety of the Jews and the flourishing of Jewish
fair
identity.
Enough.
I say you're not making such excellent points, and here's why. Yeah. Here's why.
And I agree.
Why do you, if you perceive that your community is weak... For some reason, the Christian community is weak. Mm-hmm. Why do you attribute that weakness? Why do you blame it on people who are not Christians? If Christians cannot...
Yes, agreed, agreed,
you know,
yes,
when the Albigensians were alive, they had to be eradicated. This was a very long time ago. What happened to the Jews of Europe, which is a story I know from quite close up, we know. What's happening now, if you can't keep your children Christian, I don't mean your children, I mean if Europe's Christians cannot keep their children Christian by means of teaching them their tradition and raising them in their practices, with a freedom, by the way, which you owe not to Christianity but to secular European liberalism, if Christians cannot raise their children and succeed as a faith. If you have these problems, then address them inside your community. Why do you insist always on going outside your community to find somebody who is preventing you
but
from
you
being
kind
Christian?
Of psychologizing. It's like I have my, or we as Christianity or as European Christians have our own problems, and we have to work on our problems and not trying to project them on others. This is a kind of a psychological operation.
No.
A psychological argument.
A belief, a religion, a religious faith is only besieged and under threat when its members are not free to practice it. If they are free to practice it, then it does not matter who else is free to practice whatever they want to practice around them.
But,
and you become solely responsible, which in the case, by the way, of crusades and sieges and wars, you're not. You become solely responsible for the future of your tradition.
The problem that Europe is so weak in itself leads to the invasion of foreigners, of Islamic...
Invasion?
Yes.
Invasion.
I'd like to say something about ethno-nationalism, mm-hmm. because it's one of the characteristics of this dark time. We're living, and maybe as a result of the fact that we're living in an age of unprecedented global migration with 65 million people on the move, there is now a renaissance of fantasies of homogeneity. More and more nations are coming to believe that they should live only with and among people like themselves.
Why is it a fantasy?
It's a fantasy.
It's history.
I'll tell you why it's a fantasy. Because there never is a community homogeneous enough to constitute what we mean by a nation. When European nationalism was first started in the late 18th and early 19th century, it began with an idea of a perfect fit, that there is a state and there is a nation, and the borders of the state should be the borders of the nation, and every nation would be incarnated by a state, and it would all be very neat. The problem was that it was never neat, and there developed this thing that became known in the early 20th century as the problem of minorities, because there were always people within the homogeneous community who were heterogeneous.
Yes,
until
for sure.
Finally,
what else?
Well, until finally, there are people who came to two conclusions. One, they don't need to live among people like themselves to be themselves. They just need to be free. And two, there is no greater source of social conflict and state conflict than the fantasy of perfect homogeneity. And what I fail to
but
understand...
who has this fantasy?
Oh, you
I've
do.
Never come... No.
You do.
I have a concept...
You
of,
do.
I have a concept of a people, in German, Volk, living in a country, in a nation state, in a territory. But I know it is never, and it has never been totally homogeneous, like... marbles in a little bag that are totally all are green or all are blue. It's not a technical.
Then why are
concept.
You worried about? Then why are you worried about the immigrants?
Because.
What are they stealing from you?
No, they are not stealing anything from me. But I strongly believe that it is a people that has to be almost and or mostly homogeneous.
Well, here we go.
Being totally homogeneous is a fantasy. This is stupid. This kind of a technical concept.
If you look, we have historical experience here.
Yeah.
If you look at the history of the treatment of minorities by nation states, it is true in theory that you can have a state in which you have a large homogeneous population and then a small minority or minorities. But if you experience has shown us that people who are excited by the folk and who are excited by people like themselves generally wind up losing tolerance or worse with the minorities with whom they live. So why wouldn't it be easier and more just and more moral to simply rely upon a pluralist democracy in which everyone who lives in the country has the same rights and each community can flourish according to its power?
Okay, so I have one last question to you, Mr. Wieseltier. Why is Israel an exception from this?
First you bring up the Mossad, now you bring up Israel.
Yeah, because I'm interested in this, in your answer. Every nation state must disappear.
The great problem that faces Israel right now. Oh, I don't think Germany should disappear. No. I'm all for nation states, but I think that the nation that lives within the state should be conceived heterogeneously, not homogeneously. I'm not for the disappearance. I think the nation state is here to stay, and it's probably a good thing. The problem that Israel is facing is that Zionism, in some ways, imported the European idea of nationalism, this theory of the perfect fit. And then the Jews of Israel discovered, not only that there, before 67, that there were Arabs living in their midst, and after 67, as a result of a war of self-defense, not of a war of conquest, that there were millions of Palestinians living, if not with them, then right alongside them. And the problem that you're facing is, I tell my Israeli friends, that's the problem that they're facing. And at some point, they will have the same choice that European countries will. They will either become multi-ethnic and pluralistic, or they will become fascist and homogeneous. Those are the only two possible solutions.
Tragedy happened.
But you did say earlier that it would also be a victory for Judaism, for Jews to stay in France. It's not entirely, it's a victory for France, but it also does, it is a bit of a problem for the Jews, isn't it, too?
Judaism is portable. That was the great innovation that happened at the time of the burning of the Second Temple. Mm. We're dissociated. Judaism is portable.
Place.
You can take it wherever you go, and the Jews have taken it wherever they go.
Ultimately, Europe needs Jews more than Jews need Europe.
I'm not representing the European Union when I say this. I'm just simply acknowledging that
Europe becomes an inhospitable place for Jews, it means it's an inhospitable place.
But we know that it's an inhospitable place. The burden of proof is on how hospitable it can become. Not, in other words, that's the great mystery.
Well, I'll tell you one final thing, James, about that point, which is, and this is a question I asked over and over again. I asked every European Jew I met, do you think that there is some sort of light at the end of the tunnel? No one is optimistic.
These are not Jews who are being made miserable in the Pale of Settlement or in Putin's Russia, which, by the way, will, as soon as he turns his attention from gays, it'll go to Jews, I have no doubt about it, or in Argentina at a certain time, or in Iran. These are Western European states. So there is a certain pain that one feels because it does represent the failure of an experiment that we would like to see succeed.
Judaism will be fine, but the question
is
the future of the liberal.
The question is the liberal experiment, right?
And we're seeing all these Arab states trying to embark now on democracy, one form or another. And what does it mean if Jews aren't the frog in the pot, but in the sense they are the canary in the coal mine?
Right.
What we're really saying is, in a sense, liberalism has failed. If this doesn't work, it has failed in Europe. And what does that mean about the project worldwide?
I think that there is democracy in the United States. There is democracy in Canada. Both these countries would welcome these Jews. I think that after everything that happened in Europe, I don't need Jews to be martyrs for European liberalism or democracy anymore. This is the afterlife of the European Jewish community. This is the saving remnant. That community was destroyed.
I would prefer them to leave in a kind of way, because I think it's not very safe to be there.
This is the ancient underside of Europe. This yeah. always was. This is not a new development. It takes certain new forms. The discourse takes certain.
But Leon, you have to admit that it's odd that it's this has happened in part in a fit of inattention by the importation of poor Muslims to labor on behalf of industrial Europe, by these Muslims being put in these ghettos and in disenfranchised positions. In other words, it's not what you would expect the course of history to lead you. I mean, this is not traditional European anti-Semitism in the main.
It is true that these new Muslim communities are the proximate causes of this crisis. But the non-proximate causes, the more distant causes,
were the treatment of these Muslim
communities, yeah. the societies to which they arrived, the prejudice that they found, the indifference that they found, and I don't mean to take, you know, to exonerate them of any responsibility
right.
in all this,
fair enough.
And their apparent lack of interest in actually integrating.
The question I have, and I don't know if you know the answer or anyone knows the answer, is to what degree have Muslims tried to push in and have been repulsed, or to what degree do they not even bother to try? I think it's a complicated mix. But
I think there's a lot of blame to go around on both sides. I think that there's an irony in some of these countries that multiculturalism has been used as a reason for remaining indifferent to these communities. And then when you leave them alone, lo and behold, they are themselves fighting an internecine struggle with their own demons.
The big open question, I think, and this is what you hear in the French right, and in some quarters of the socialists, but not everywhere, is maybe Islam in its French manifestation is somehow different and is not meltable.
Look,
in the same way.
This was said about the Jews during the great debates about Jewish emancipation in the 18th, early 19th century in Western Europe. The argument always was that the Jews cannot be absorbed because they
right.
are a state within a state, because their laws and their way of life make them unassimilable. That they simply have a
Do you think the analogy is actually
I
correct?
I think the analogy is correct, but I think we're at a very, very early stage in the story.
One of the things that we do forget, and this needs to be said, is that many, many thousands, if not millions, of Muslims in Europe are trying to be integrated and integrate themselves.
No, this goes
It doesn't go without saying, because it doesn't go without saying, because there is a stereotype that this is all an unvariegated mass of future and current radicals who want to chop people's heads off, and it's not.
So where does that analogy take you, though?
It means we're at the beginning of a long process in which both the French community and the Muslim community are going to, as I say, experience certain shocks in their encounters with each other. And in the name of social peace, at least, they're going to have to begin to make adjustments. This happens in even the most benign situations. I mean, you know, Muslim immigrants to Queens, mm-hmm. right? They're already beginning to notice that their daughter was seen talking to some Italian kid who isn't obviously Muslim, or that she wore a skirt that was a little bit too short. Right? I mean, this is the story of immigrants in the
Queens. Yeah.
But one has to bear with it, and one has to direct these encounters, I mean, this benignly, in the name of certain values that will open them up. And that is exactly what may be missing in the French case, where both communities seem to have very insular conceptions.
What I hear you both saying is, in the end, it hasn't worked, though. I mean, integration has not
brilliantly,
failed.
Not brilliantly, no.
Yeah.
These societies will not be sustainable unless they find, the people who live in these societies find ways to live with each other. I mean, it really is that simple. It's not just a Jewish question.
The Jews are collateral in this, in a kind of strange way. I forgot who said it, but somebody said, you know, when civilizations clash, Jews die. You know, that's an overstatement in this case, except in some unfortunate instances. But we're seeing clash between two different ways of being. We're seeing an indigestible Muslim minority confronting a Europe that is paralyzed and doesn't even know itself anymore. And the Jews happen to be sitting there, and sometimes as an afterthought they're attacked, sometimes as a convenient scapegoat they're attacked. But they're not in a way part of the larger drama. They just sit there and get it in the neck. Sad.
Right.
I think that's the way I would put it. Jews are not in control of what happens to Jews in Europe, and that is the best.